You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Who is this Jesus? Have you got a glimpse of who he is by now? I'm sure you know him well. Thank you for all the comments and feedback on this series. It's certainly been a rich time. I'm sure that you will agree with me on that. My prayer is that it's given us a deeper understanding or maybe a different perspective on this extraordinary God that we serve, and that we will be encouraged together even more to share who this Jesus is with those we encounter, not only in this Christmas season when we have an open door to share, but every day. His name declares the reason he humbled himself and became fully human as a babe born in a stable to be the saviour of the world. He is our salvation. He allowed himself to be the sacrificial lamb we sang about it this morning for us, and now sits on his eternal throne as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And we praise his name that is above every other name. Amen. The wonderful thing is that even though Jesus is our Lord, Jesus himself says in John 10 that he is also our good shepherd, and we are his sheep. He knows us. He knows you, each one of you and me, so intimately. And he gives us the opportunity to know him and to hear and know his voice. And that is a wonderful thing. He is a personal God that wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And we know that his heart was moved with compassion to heal the sick, to strengthen the weak, to bind up the wounded and brokenhearted, to search for the lost, and to proclaim good news to the poor. That's what he did while he was here. I'm sure that each one of us can testify to experiencing the faithfulness of our personal God, strengthening us in our weakness and having compassion on us. And we've seen this evident in our family right here, with Dani, in Trisha's life, in Jackie's life, and many of us, haven't we? And I'd like to invite Beth to come right now. And she's going to share her testimony of the wonderful Good Shepherd's care for her. Would you welcome Beth?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Beth Palmer. I've been coming to RBC since moving down from up north with my husband and two sons about 20 years ago. They don't come to church, but I am. I'd like to thank all of you who are here today and those who are absent but would normally be here. All of you who have been praying for me over the years, but particularly since the end of February this year when I found out I had early stage 2 breast cancer. This was a shock. And it has been a journey I did not ever wish to be on. And yet, there have been blessings along the way. Firstly, it was uplifting and encouraging knowing so many of you were praying, not only for myself, but my husband who was looking for after me, and of course all the medical and allied health professionals involved in working and on different aspects of my care and my treatments. I thank you for all those prayers, for all of this. Thank you all for the care basket I received, including items like chocolate that could be shared with my husband, beautiful flowers, treats, the gift of your time in visiting me or taking me out for a while for short walks or outings and treats, or just simply listening for whatever was on my mind. My husband got to meet a few of you and was quite touched by the fact that you had come around to see me. At the start of all this, my doctor said I had to continue to exercise. I tried on my own. It didn't go so well. And after a lot of prayers, my husband decided he would start walking with me, which has really helped. And that was just one day out of the blue. He just said, I'm going to do this with you. An answer to prayer I hadn't been expecting. Another answer to prayer, as you may be aware, with chemotherapy, it's a poison and it not only kills cancer, but lots of other body cells as well. So my hair fell out. That was traumatizing. But God has given me a beautiful new hairstyle. And I'm amazed. I never expected that. So that's another answer to prayer I'd not expected at all. Now in remission, just heard the news this week and I have good prognosis. And I'm excitedly looking forward to celebrating Christmas with my family this morning, with my church family, and on Christmas Day. Thank you for your continued faithful prayers in groups and individually through the long, difficult year. Thank you for showing God's love here in action on earth.
He's a good God, isn't he? He knows what we need. Even what we think are little things, he knows us so intimately and personal that he answers our prayers in that. Isn't it wonderful that this Jesus, who is King, loves and has compassion on each of us and knows us that well? And this shows us that he's alive and working. Richard spoke so powerfully last week from John 9 and reminded us that Jesus, I am, Yahweh, is always passing by. He is always near and he sees you. He sees me. He sees you with gracious intent. Isn't that beautiful? And he works in us to show his glory. He wants to do you good. He wants to do glorious works in your life and in my life. I wonder if we live in this trust and with an expectancy of Jesus wanting to do glorious works in us. Do we? Do we really live like that? I'm not sure. It was a challenge to me, at least. Richard also reminded us that when the light of the world shines in our hearts, we receive the life and love of God which shines in the darkness. The life of God gives us a sense of deep value and significance, the sense of being deeply loved, and we have the power to exercise the life that he is and he has. We have the power to receive love and to give love, to receive joy and to give joy, and to receive peace and to give peace. Have you given some of that out today? Have you given some of that out this week? This week, as we head into our Christmas weekend, next weekend, I want to look at Jesus as our Prince of Peace. So let's look at this familiar, maybe should I say Christmas text, or we hear a lot at Christmas time. It's from Isaiah 9:6, and it says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Amen. If you're as old as me or older, you probably remember singing a wonderful song with these words, and I'm not going to do a Steve this morning. But it is a beautiful song. Normally we'd look at this name and suggest that maybe the prince part would describe his title or position. But according to the prophet Isaiah here, it is the name of Jesus. The name of the child born in the stable, the Messiah, is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and he is named the Prince of Peace. So today I want to briefly touch on knowing our Messiah, Yeshua, through the disclosure of his nature to us in his name as the Prince of Peace, or in Hebrew, Zah Shalom. And of course we know that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, don't we? I'm sure you've heard that. What I find, though, is that it's so easy to live this human life with the mindset of peace rather than shalom. Aren't they the same, you might ask? Well, let me explain. When I look up the definition of peace in the Oxford Dictionary and online with different sources, here's what they say, and you've got that on your screen. Freedom from disturbance or tranquility. a state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. Societal friendship and harmony, maybe, a lack of conflict and freedom from fear of violence between individuals or groups. These are the definitions of peace. It seems, though, that we mainly define peace from the outward perspective. I wonder if that's why so many people in our world today are searching for inner peace. But then let's look at the definition of shalom. It comes from a root denoting wholeness and completeness. It encompasses concepts like harmony, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility, as the other one did, but it's bound up with the notion of shelemut, which is perfection. Does that sound a little bit deeper? According to one Jewish writer, shalom, or peace, along with truth and justice, is among the most hallowed Jewish values. Its significance is not limited to political domain, to the absence of war, or to the social domain, to the absence of quarrelling and strife. It ranges over all spheres and can refer in different contexts to bounteous physical conditions, to a moral value, and ultimately to a cosmic principle and divine attribute. He goes on to say that in the Bible, shalom is a blessing, a manifestation of divine grace. This is getting better. We can see in these definitions that the Jewish people understood a much richer and deeper meaning to the concept of peace. Everybody longs for peace, don't we? That inner shalom of the heart. That is why it is quite common in so many cultures to have this as a daily greeting. As we've said, the Jewish use the word shalom. In the Arabic, they would say salam alaikum, which means peace be with you. Even the letters of the apostles in the Bible start with this greeting. We all wish for it, but we seldom find it because people look for it in the wrong places. Of course, we know that true peace comes only from Jesus, not from political parties or individuals getting along, or even prosperous physical conditions. True peace is found only in Jesus and through Jesus, our Prince of Peace, our Tzar Shalom. St. Augustine, in his famous Confessions, said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." So true, isn't it? I'll say that again. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you and you alone. Here lies the difference between inner peace and outer peace. Think about the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on your circumstances. If everything is going well, we're happy. If you're with friends, then you're happy. If your partner loves you, you're happy. You've just bought a new puppy, you're happy. Or maybe until it starts chewing your furniture or something like that. Happiness is about self's pleasures. It usually dwells on materialistic things and worldly pleasures. Happiness comes from outside. But joy comes from the inside. We can have joy even when we're not doing anything. We can have joy in the midst of sorrow and heartache. True joy is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it does not depend on your outward circumstances. Remember Paul and Silas singing in jail? That's joy. In the same way, we can have a peace that is based on our outward circumstances or environment. You have a sense of peace because you have no problems to deal with. We might say we have peace because we live in this country where there is no war, but do we? Does the absence of conflict really mean that there is peace? People's hearts are troubled and they still live in all kinds of fear, anxiety, and insecurity. Our human nature often allows this kind of peace or lack of it to have influence over our lives. However, there is another type of peace, and that is the peace that's internal that we've already spoken about. This is the peace that the Prince of Peace gives us. And that's why Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What a beautiful gift. Jesus is this inner peace, and he gives this to us. He is the Prince, the ruler, the Lord of peace. And this peace is within him. It is his. It is his identity, his character, his calling, if you like, to bring peace and reconciliation. And as Richard said last week, if we have the light of the world giving us life, we have the power to receive this peace and to give this peace. This peace of Jesus is not dependent on our circumstances. I'll say it another 50 billion times. Remember when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples crossing over to the other side of the lake? In Mark it says, "A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." Jesus' peace was not influenced by what was happening that day in the boat, in the middle of the storm. And we even sung about it this morning. He is peace, and he brought peace to that situation. They were filled with fear, the disciples. How would we go? I think I'd be with the disciples, actually. Jesus was filled with peace. These two are opposites, and you can't have both. How often are we like the disciples in the boat? Anyone with me? Where we start to panic because the waves of life are swamping in on us, even though Jesus is with us. And yet, we have been given this gift of the Prince of Peace. When Jesus, Tzar Shalom, appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he walked into the room where they were gathered together in fear. And what did he say? "Peace be with you." And again, further down in verse 21, "Peace be with you." In other words, he was saying, "My shalom, my peace I give to you. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let this storm in your hearts be still." And with his peace, he sent them out, but not before breathing on them and filling them with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is completeness and wholeness, and he gives us that kind of peace. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes on you and fills you, you will be filled with shalom, the peace of God, and that is what you will also produce. Because according to Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So we need to be continually filled. So how can we live a life of this inner peace despite our circumstances? Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble." Verse 10 of the same psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God." Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." His peace guards our hearts and our mind. Our decisions, our emotions, our feelings, our reactions and responses to different situations and hardships do not depend on the outcome of the activity, on the amount of success, on the opinions and approval of others, because you rest in him where you find that inner shalom. Jesus is the branch, our lifeline, and that peace that is in him will flow and will be given to you also. It's a gift that we already have. If we abide in him, he will give you this fruit. True peace comes only by the Prince of Peace. The Lord is saying to us, don't search anywhere else for satisfaction and peace. Just stay with me. Come to me. Stay in my presence. Be still and I will give you my peace. Pursue peace. Pursue me, says Jesus. To have peace is to be in harmony with Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Sounds repetitive, doesn't it? Remember the story of Mary and Martha? And we speak about this a lot of different ways. Martha was cooking for Jesus. What a privilege. I know Milo would love to invite Jesus and cook him some Slovak dishes. That would be his ultimate. And I'm sure Jesus would love it too. But as important as eating is, Mary was just sitting still at Jesus' feet. And Jesus commended her, not Martha. Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken from her. In other words, Jesus said, she found peace at my feet and she will have it. What was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of the Prince of Peace and receiving. And in that atmosphere of not being busy, she received her blessing. Sometimes we are preoccupied with the distractions, the doing, the busy, all that may be in themselves good. But we're not abiding and sitting at his feet and receiving. We are often like this even in our praying. We talk a lot and we're so active and sometimes we forget to just be still and know that he is God, that he is the Prince of Peace. Can we learn to soak in his presence, to allow the light of the world to give us life so that we have the power to receive even his peace and to give out his peace to the world? In Colossians 3, Paul exhorts the saints to live as those made alive in Christ by setting their hearts on things above, abandoning their sinful behaviours. And then he says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. You were called to peace. Not peace that the world gives, peace that only the Prince of Peace gives. And be thankful. This is the peace of Christ that transcends all understanding and all circumstance. This is the inner peace that only comes from abiding in the Prince of Peace and knowing that our sins are taken away, we are washed away, they are washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God. We know that our Heavenly Father does not condemn us, but received us as his children. We are reconciled with him and we have life everlasting and will be forever in his kingdom, praising and worshipping him as our Lord and King. And we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. These truths and nothing else fill our hearts with that peace that is beyond human understanding. So where are you today? Do you need a touch from the Prince of Peace this morning? Are you right now in the season of your life where that inner peace, that tranquility of the Spirit is missing? Then I invite you, actually Jesus invites you to come. Come to this Prince of Peace this morning, this very moment. And even if it's the 99th time, come to him yet again and pray. Surrender to him, bring it all to him and be assured that he will not just hear, but he will answer that prayer and will bring healing, deliverance, give you strength to endure whatever it is that you need to endure. Can we allow Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to ride the storm with you in the boat this morning? Can we let him do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.